Hello, hello. Amen, huh? Nadine, I'd like to ask my wife to come up. You're welcome to start the live stream whenever you're ready. God has been good to us this year. I hope you really enjoyed the video. I'm going to share a little bit about the guy that you saw me baptizing. I shared a little bit about him last year, but there's a lot that's happened, and so I'm excited. But first, we're just going to recap the year before I get into my message. So,
yeah. Good morning, church. It's so awesome that this year we were able to show a video with a lot of the disciples' faces on. A lot of the stuff that you get to see here on that video, we don't even get to film ourselves. So having a team to put that video together was awesome. And I watched the video, and every time I'm in awe because you see the faces of, and you see the stories behind those faces. And obviously, a lot of them, even the women I've walked through, I mean, radical Muslims and now radical Christians. So praise the Lord. But yeah, this last year we've seen 70 plus salvations, and we don't count numbers. That's based off of us going in a circle and talking about who we're discipling. So praise the Lord on that. Yeah, this last year we spent a lot of time, it was a lot different this year. We spent a lot of time walking through a lot of things that we don't go through training for, a lot of actual things that a lot of people in here have been through themselves, being persecuted by their families. But in Islam, it's to the extreme. People getting poisoned, and thankfully we have a team here at home that are praying and standing with us. And so thank you for even the pastors here for standing with us through some of the turmoil that we've experienced this last year. But we're done in the one country that we've been in for the last 2 years, and we're ready to step into the new territory that the Lord has given us. So we will be launching a new team with the Overland Missions this year, and be really excited about that. But yeah, God's good, and people are being ripped out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, and it's going to continue. I think you got it. Yeah.
Give my wife a hand clap. Come on. She doesn't get enough credit. I'm the one that comes up with the mic. But, you know, over there, I have my own ministry, and she has her own ministry. It's not, you know, her hiding behind me or this, that. She is all by herself. She does it, you know, well, we have team members and this, that. But it's her ministry. You know, the women that are impacted is because of her. And I think I said it last year, every single time she would sit down with someone, I would sit down with someone and nothing would happen. And then she'd sit down with someone and all the women that she meets with give their lives to Jesus because there's so much love that comes from her life, and it's real, you know. And she's amazing. So praise God for amazing wives. Amen. So yeah, I just want to recap what's happening. Obviously, we spent the last 2 years in the country that Pastor said, but we're on live stream now, so I'm not going to say it. But now we have been asked, Nadine and I have been asked to be moved up, and now we are country directors. We are leaders of a nation, and we have built a team this last year, and we are going into new ground. Ground, for those of you that know our story, God spoke to us 8 years ago to move to this place. And one thing led to another, and one step after one step, and God has prepared us. Preparation days are never wasted days, amen? And God has taken us from step to step, and now we finally get to step into this new season of the country that God's been preparing us for. And we don't believe it's going to be small, we believe it's going to be big. It's the second day, we went on a two-week recon this year. The second day that we were there, we found ourselves in a house church with five different, it was like 30 people, little house church. 5 to 7 different nationalities, different countries represented. And we had just, these people are already coming together, but we had one salvation, one baptism in the Holy Ghost, one water baptism, one little like 13-year-old Indian guy is out under the power of God getting called into the ministry. 7 to 8 healings. Just God was moving mightily, and it was us stepping into this place going, God, I want to make sure that this is where, like, we haven't missed it. Even though we've been going after this for 8 years, I want to know that you're in it. And the second day there, he's already just moving mightily. And we just go, okay, all right, he's ready for us. We're ready to rock and roll. And so we're full of vision. You know, 8 years is a long time for the Lord to be speaking and preparing you for a nation. And so we're really excited. God is so good. The people that are on our team are amazing. We've got two fundraising, and the others are ready to go. So we'll go there with a team of seven, and then obviously our two little kids, and it's just going to be amazing. And so we're really excited. So that's what we get to look forward to. But now I'm going to go ahead and get into my message. But before I do, I know that today is a big day. Everyone's ready to watch the football game. I didn't even know it was today. I'm completely removed from all of that. But I just ask, I know that people are getting ready for things, but I ask that I don't know that I'm going to be done by noon, and I know that there is no time restraint, but just, this is serious. Nadine and I don't look at us coming home for finances, which I am going to share that. I need to share that. My wife, I've got to share that. But we're not coming home putting our hands out for finances. We're coming home to edify the body of Christ. Because we have seen things that will take you people to another level. And our heart isn't to come home and just put our hands out and say, hey, we need your money. We are coming home to minister. Because it's about the kingdom. And that's the only thing. It's about advancing the kingdom of God, and that is our heart. And so that's why we're here. Now, we are launching a new nation. It costs a lot to establish a team in a new nation. And so we've lost some funding over this last year. So we're believing for about 2,000 in monthly partners. And then we're believing for 100,000 in one time, because we got cars to buy. We've got visas that are outrageous in that country. And we've got to pay. The way that rent works over there is you have to pay a whole year in advance. So you don't just go monthly. You have to have the whole year. So we're believing that Nadine and I will be able to carry that burden and pay for it. And then the people that are on our team will be able to pay us monthly. And so that's what we're believing for personally. So all that we ask is, I'm here to minister. But I ask that you do your part and just pray. And ask God if he would have you be on our team. There's plenty of people in here that's already on our team. And we are so thankful to the Lord for what you're sowing into. You're advancing the kingdom. And if you're not, I ask that you ask the Lord what he'd have you do today. And follow the Holy Ghost. We have went there, as Pastor said, in obedience. And all that we ask is that you would pray and follow the Holy Ghost and be in obedience. That's it. But now I'm going to minister, because it's more about that. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for every single heart in this place today, Lord. I thank you that your Spirit's already moving in this place today. I felt like people were going to preach my message without me preaching it today, and that's awesome, because it's your Spirit, Lord. And so I pray that people's lives will be changed and moved and impacted for the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God will be advanced today in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many people's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on, how many people are excited that Jesus is King? Amen. Come on. He's a good God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to shout and dance about. Amen. So I've got some testimonies, but before I do, I'd ask for everyone to go to Ezekiel 36. I believe that God, the message has already been preached today with what the Lord's been doing. And so I think what my job is today, as I was sitting there and listening to everybody speak the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit was moving, I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, I pray that you go before me and prepare the hearts of the people today, so that my message wouldn't fall on deaf ears. And look what he did. You guys basically preached my message, and it's good, because that means that the Holy Spirit is moving, and that's who it's about. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody turning, or is everyone there? I hear pages. That's good. I like pages rather than just the mobile. I like that. All right, here we go. I'm going to share this scripture that has become so relevant in my life this year and share some testimonies, and I pray that you all will be encouraged. So, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, it says this, "And I will give you a new heart." Yeah, thank you, Lord. "A new spirit will I put within you. I will remove the heart of stone, and I will get or from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit," spirit is capitalized, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, "I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my ways, and to be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I have given your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness." Amen. Amen. So the guy in the video that I baptized, I shared about him last year because it was literally right before I came. He's ex-ISIS, and he gave his life to Jesus. Now, 3 days before he gave his life to Jesus, he got stabbed. And he called me. He's like, "Josh, I need you. I know that you're the only one that'll care, only one that'll come and talk to me." And I only spoke to him one other time before. And so I met with him, and he gave his life to the Lord, and then he stopped talking to me. And I came home. I came home last year, and I shared that story. In faith, he disappeared. He stopped talking to me. In faith that the seed of the gospel had went forth, and he was saved. Because I preached the gospel, I led him to the Lord, and then I talked him out of it. I led him to the Lord, and I talked him out of it, until he said, "No, I get it. I get it." Because I wanted it to leave here and go down here. And when I knew that it went there, we prayed. He gave his life to the Lord, prayed for the presence of God to touch him, and it was awesome. It was so cool. But still, he disappeared. He stopped talking to me. So then I land, after being here last year, sit down on my couch, first morning, and the Lord says, "You got to call Marshall." Okay. He hasn't talked to me forever. I messaged him. I kept trying. So I call him, and he's like, "Josh, where have you been? I've been trying to get a hold of you." So something happened with me being over here and whatnot. So I go and I meet with him, and I sit down with him. He's like distraught. He's like, "Josh, what happened to me? What did you do to me? What happened?" And I was like, "Why? What's going on? What happened?" Well, he goes, "Well, how many of you know when you give your life to the Lord, everything doesn't just go away. You still got stuff you got to deal with. The renewing of the mind. You got stuff that you got, you know." And this guy killed people. This guy was ISIS. He cut the heads off Christians. Like, he's killed Muslims. He's killed Christians. This is a hard dude. And I found out later that he quit that, but then he came home and he was a hired hitman. He showed me. I saw it. I wouldn't lie to you guys. I saw the picture. He showed me the picture. He showed me the assignment. He showed me the payout. And then he just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, and there was face after face after face. He showed me the cave that he stored the bodies in. On his back is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in like knife marks, because every time they kill, the people would mark him, and he's got scars all the way down his back. We're believing God for finances to pay to get the scars removed, because you can do, just like they can do stuff with tattoos, they can work on those scars, because he's like ashamed. He wouldn't, you know, he's just ashamed of it. So this dude's bad to the bone. Like, he's bad. Everyone else in the world would give up on him, be like, "Yeah, that guy's never getting saved." But not God. Not God. And so he sits down, and he goes on to tell me, he's like, "Well, I wanted revenge. I wanted revenge on the guy that stabbed me. So I lured him into a house, and me and these two of my friends who torture people to get information, and probably has to do with the government, some of it, because it's corrupt, we all know that." He goes, "For 2 days, 3 days, we tortured the person, and at the end, I held a gun to the guy's head. And I was going to kill him like I've killed so many other times before. I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. But Josh, I couldn't pull the trigger that day. I couldn't do it. And I put the gun down and I looked at my friends and I said, I can't be a part of this anymore. And he looks at me and he goes, what happened? I've been hard for so long. And I said this, I said, thus says the Lord God, I will take out the heart of stone and I will put in the heart of flesh. And my spirit will I put within you. Come on. And I will cause you to walk in my ways. And I will cleanse you of all of my unrighteousness. And with tears running down his eyes, he goes, Josh, it's real. It's real. It's really real. It's real. And so then a few months later, you saw the baptism. He got delivered of witchcraft that was put on him at that baptism. And it was incredible, guys, to watch what the Lord was doing. But now comes my message. Now comes what the Holy Spirit is doing in this house today. I ask you today, whose story is it? Is it Pastor Rick's story? Is it Pastor Gordy's story? Is it Nadine's story? Is it Josh's story? No. When we open the pages of that book, it's his story. Amen? So let's not get it twisted. Let's not think that it's Josh's discipleship methods. It's Pastor's discipleship methods. It's him. It's all about him. It's always been about him. It doesn't matter what, like, all the other stuff. I literally had nothing to do with what happened to this guy. He saw me and saw the Holy Ghost on the inside of me and goes, I need to talk to you. I shared the gospel. I was obedient to share what I knew. It's not about how good you are. It's not about who I am. I'm a nobody, guys. I went to Fairfield. I went to Millersburg, which means I don't know how to spell. Joking. But I get caught up into things in high school. I turn into a drug addict. I would, anything and everything I could get my hands on, I would do it. It didn't matter. And then he saves me, sends me to the nations. Who am I to lead this guy to the Lord? But then I was gone. Who's discipling him? He wouldn't answer my calls. So today I'm here to tell you, whose story is it? Whose story? Who was there in that place when he saw the people being tortured and he goes, I didn't feel good. For the first time in my life, I didn't feel good. I felt bad for the person who stabbed me. I felt bad for him. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. That's the promise. You see, Jesus, when he was on the earth, you know, oftentimes people always do this. And don't get me wrong and don't mishear me. Don't hear something that I'm not saying. We study the life of Jesus and we model the life of Jesus, which we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But let's not forget why Jesus left. Crowds would follow him. Crowds would follow him all over the place to the point where even in the Bible he's like, don't go and tell people what just happened. Like, you know what I mean? And I've always questioned that. What? It's because everyone, he would go into a city and everyone would get healed. All who were oppressed of the devil were set free. But why? Why did he leave? So we could be with the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, somebody. It's because everyone was drawn to him. And now the one that everyone was drawn to dwells on the inside of you. Come on. He's the one that comes and changes us from the inside out. He's the one. All we have to do is listen. It's not about Josh. It's not about Nadine. It's not about the man of God.
we're here to put words to it. And the hungrier that you get sitting in this place today, the more that you draw from God, the more you'll hear a message coming from your pastor and leader from God. But if you're, and I'm not saying that they don't hear from God, I'm just saying we were at a conference recently and we were hungry. And I promise you there was three statements during that conference that was for my wife and I only. Nobody else in there could care less about what he said. And it was three sentences and we left there, wow, that was the Lord. Why? Because we're hungry, we drew it out of him. God uses us as a mouthpiece. So if you sit there today and you're hungry, you're going to hear something from God today. Because I'm a yielded vessel. But that's the point. It's not about me. I'm a nobody. It's about him. It's his story. This is the biggest problem that we have in the church. We think it's about a 12-step discipleship plan. And you go through the 12-step discipleship plan. And you still don't know the voice of God. You don't know how to hear God. You don't know how to do any of that. But without that, you're nothing. If the church would burn down, then you wouldn't have, oh, well, what am I going to do now? If pastors would die right now, oh, how am I going to hear from God? If I would get kicked out of my nation, are my disciples going to be backslide and not go to heaven? No, because God taught me this truth. Because it's not about me. It's about him. So then what's discipleship? Pointing them to, it's, bro, I love you. You're amazing. What you're missing is you're not seeing him. So you look at him and we'll go with it. We'll seek him together, right? It's not about us. So then what's discipleship? I had the guy that I led to the Lord, this guy that was baptized, I started bringing him with me. I'm like, you're telling your story, everyone that I know. And then he tells his story, and then a few weeks later, one of the guys gets healed. And he was like, oh, wow, this is amazing, and gives his life to Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing, but, you know, discipleship, what's discipleship? He was like, well, you know, I love pornography. It's just amazing. I love it. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. But the Lord, the following week, this is what I do. I show up with my guys, and I go, what's the Lord been speaking to you? Well, I don't know. I don't know his voice. Okay, well, what happened this week? Well, it's funny you asked that, because the weirdest thing happened. I was, you know, I told you I like to watch pornography, and then this week it made me grossed out. It was disgusting. And I started getting sick to my stomach, and I'm like, that's the Holy Ghost. And then they're not looking to me. And then, listen to this, then you get to learn how to co-labor with the Lord because you're pointing them to him. And so you go, instead of you going, oh, well, stop smoking, knock it off. You quit smoking, stop doing this, you've got all these rules. Come on, I'm gonna get into some litter boxes this morning. All these rules. When God, you can't get rid of everything all at once. And God knows that. And he gives grace to the humble. This is what we were talking about this morning. I'm gonna loop it all together. So I've got a guy sitting there smoking a cigarette telling me about how God is dealing with pornography in his life. So then you work on that. You co-labor with that because that's what God's speaking to him. You don't say, well, first you need to get rid of that cigarette. That's not what God's working on right now. I had the very first person that I led to the Lord last year, 2 weeks after being there, I led him to the Lord. This year, we get back after being away for 2 months. I go back and we hear a story about him believing in healing. Now, the guy doesn't read or write. He barely speaks Arabic. He speaks it's Turkish, but it's Turkmani. It's like, it'd be like Dutch is to German. A lot of similarities, but it's like, you know, it's its own, it's like a slang. So he doesn't have the word of God. He just goes based off of what we have. So his father-in-law has had this illness that he was in major pain for like 9 years. And he was
something came on him, and he was like, I'm going to go and pray for him. Sits down, cigarette, one cigarette after another, just smoking, and he's praying for healing for this guy. Let that convict you for a second. Let that stir in your heart. Most people would think, oh, well, I need to be in a suit and tie before I pray for healing. I need to know all this stuff. That's not the case. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. He dwells on the inside of me. He dwells on the inside of him. And he's a work in progress, and God is working through it. But the problem is, well, let me finish the story. So then he's sitting there, he's smoking cigarettes, prays for the guy for 3 hours, and all the pain goes away. And he finally has a night's sleep, and the pain has never came back. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap. And while you do that, my guy's over there, he's got a cigarette in his mouth. But he's laying hands on the sick, and they're recovering. And God is stripping things off of him, one thing after another. And I have a problem, and I'm gonna address it right now. The culture that, this is the culture. The culture that rules do, that bring. And I'm not saying that there aren't rules, guys. That don't hear what I'm saying is wrong. There are rules. There are things that we need to abide by. There are those things. But let God deal with people. Because I know a lot of people that have rules but don't have him. Islam is that way. The Amish started out as a great, and I'm going there, but the Amish started out as a genuine move of God. A genuine move. Study it out. In Europe, it was a genuine move of God. Like Holy Ghost, Pentecostal, fire of God, move of God. But then it became about the rules, and the Holy Ghost left, and you were left with religion. And I say that humbly, and I'm going to show you in the Word where it's normal. Same with Islam. Bunch of rules, bunch of stuff that you have to do to make yourself feel holy, no spirit, no peace. The people that we are leading to the Lord, it costs them everything. And I shared this last year, but the guy that Nadine was talking about. We had a guy this year. Some of you that are on our prayer team was praying for him. His name, God became real to him. And he had a relationship with him. And then he starts reading the Bible, and it just comes to life. Reading the Bible, before I get into that, reading the Bible isn't going to help you anything unless you've got him living on the inside of you, teaching you. I literally have met with people who probably know the Word of God better than I do, but it's all religion, and they have nothing, and they're lacking everything, and they find error in the Bible, and they're like, this is why I don't believe it. Da, 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 da. Well, you're obviously doing something wrong. What is it? It's that they don't have him living on the inside of them. Or they won't engage with him, and they don't give him the time of day, so he's not teaching them. See, Marshall, I know I shouldn't say that, but whatever. I'm so bad at this, guys. It's so hard. He didn't read, he read his Bible for the first time like a month and a half ago. I've been working with him for like, I'm like, dude, just read your Bible, please. Just do it. But that's not how it worked. It was about him knowing what God was doing. And then when he opened the Word, it was like, oh. Because God just starts speaking to him concerning everything that's been happening in his life. And it just came to life. But the other guy, his mom found his Bible all marked up because it's become real to him, and he's doing it behind everyone's back. And they go, are you a Christian? And he's like, yes, I am. Now, how many people in this room right now, if it was going to cost you everything, would say, yes, I am? It's going to cost you your job. your mom and dad might kill you, like actually kill you. Actually kill you. Not just shun you, not just excommunicate you, lock you in a room, which is what happened to him, and his dad and uncle shoved poison down his throat. Jumped off the second story balcony, we took him into our house. His heart was going 1,000 miles an hour. We thought he was going to die. Me, my wife, and another guy on our team, the guy that was speaking most of the video, we laid hands on him. All symptoms went away just like that. Yes. But he took a stand. We can take a stand too. Because he's worth it. He came and died on the cross for us. But it has to be real. And that's what I'm going to get into. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, please. This is good. This is a word straight for America, straight for the churches that I'm going to, because we've fallen into it so much. Thank you, Jesus. See, the culture that the rules make is a culture of keeping things in your closet. It's a culture of showing up to church acting like everything's fine. That's literally what it produces. It doesn't produce freedom. 70% of men in church today view pornography. 70. And most people would go, oh, that's disgusting. But I go, man, they just need to know who he is. They need to know him. But we create a culture when it's all about the rules that you have to look a certain way, or everyone's going to look down on you, instead of going, okay, my guys, I look at them, they're all stressed out because God's working on this pornography thing. And I'm like, bro, you need to smoke a cigarette. I used to smoke, I know. Why? Because I know that that's not, I know how hard and overwhelming it could be. But that creates a culture of that they're open to talk to me. They know that it's bad. I tell them my testimony about how I got set free from it. They know. But let's go one thing at a time and point them to Jesus, and so they understand once pornography or once cigarettes that is taken off of them, what do they have? Josh helped me and he got me off of this stuff. That's not what I want. God met me in my room and he started breaking these things off. Why? Because he gives grace to the humble. It's, God, I can't live with this anymore. You keep convicting me of it. I can't live with this anymore. I need you to help. See, the biggest problem in the church today is they confuse what grace and mercy are. Mercy is you're not getting what you deserve. Everything's been paid for. But grace is the supernatural ability to live the life that you're meant to live. And the reason you can't live it is because you got things in the back and you're acting because of the culture. You're acting that everything's okay, which is pride, and he resists the proud. If you would just say, God, I'm tired of this. You come into the church, hey, how's everything going? Well, I really feel for the last 10 years that God's been dealing with me with this and I don't know how to do it. That takes some humility right there. Coming before your pastors and saying, I need help. Then we can go, well, what's the Lord saying? And then we point you to Jesus and we help you walk with him, not help you walk with the pastors. Because it's all about him. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, I'm gonna show you exactly this. It happened to the church at Galatia. It happened right here. Boom. It says, For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That's religion.
That's the old way. That's the law, which was what? A bunch of rules. Now your rules are love the Lord your God with all your, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because when you love him and you go after him, he's going to take care of it. We read it in Ezekiel. I will do it. Not the pastor. I will do it. Not you. I will do it. Because he wants the glory. It's about him. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, which is the law, Christ will be of no advantage to you. So if you accept these rules and you just go after the rules, what Jesus did on the cross is powerless. He says, forget it. So even though you believe it, you lose the power of it because it's twisted. And it says here, of no advantage to you, I testify again that every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. We all know in here, if we're honest with ourselves, we can't do it. If 70% of the men watch pornography, we can't do it without him. But we will do it. That stuff's going to break. Foul devil thinks he can touch the church. But it's just getting that, it's breaking that, it's renewing the mind, it's switching this. If you can get this, church will never be the same. Ever. It's 12 o'clock. Oh my gosh. Obligated to keep the whole law. Listen to this. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. I just said that. He gives grace to the humble. If you think that you can do it in your own strength and you think it's about the rules, then you aren't going to live the life because God doesn't want you to live the life without him. So he says, he resists the proud. It's, I'm trying to live this. And God's going, you're not going anywhere until you come to me because then I get the glory. And then I have you and I have a relationship with you. That's the whole point, guys. So if you put the rules down and you stop thinking about, oh, I've got to look this way and I've got to be this, you're a nobody, just like me. But he's everything. And when you give that to people, it changes. And it says here, you are severed from Christ. The person who you're seeking and what you want because of the culture that is produced, because of your mindset, you're severed from him. But he is faithful, guys. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't want to put fear in a way that he's given up on you. Though he doesn't do that. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave me this. I'm able to preach this to you today, and the Holy Spirit was speaking it before because it's his will. I'm just connecting everything. But it's God. He gave me this message for you. Because he loves you. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running so well. Who hindered you from obeying this truth? This persuasion... is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you think just a little bit it's about you, a little bit of pride, boom, you're on your face. Pride comes before the fall. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty of him. This is how God... If you look at Jesus, how he dealt with the religious, let's just think about that for a second. He was not nice to the religious. But this is the same heart as in Paul. Listen to this. This is more heavy than what I expected. But he says, one who is troubling you to bear the penalty of whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In the case the offense of the cross has been removed. When you think of that, I wish those who unsettle you will emasculate themselves. That's pretty heavy, guys. Emasculate themselves? For you were called to freedom. Brothers, only do not use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't, that, this right here, I dealt with this year. The freedom doctrine. Well, I'm free to do it a little bit. If it's not an excess, I can do a little bit. It's this doctrine, but that's not the case. That's not the case. That's not a doctrine. You don't just give way to the flesh. For the whole law was fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you will be consumed by one another. That goes right back to it. This scripture right here, this part, and then it goes into walking in the Spirit. Another one of my favorite scriptures. But this right here is the key, right here. If you could just focus on Him, you're not going to church to hear a word from God for yourself. You can get it at home. You come to church to celebrate what God's doing in the life of the believer. You come to church, you don't have to barely cross the finish line when you get to church on Sunday. I'm not saying that you don't go through anything, but God is with you. He's with you all the time. What if He wasn't with you, if it wasn't about, look at the woman at the well. He said, you'll never thirst again. He's the answer. If you're thirsty, you don't have to wait till Sunday. Go get it for yourself. That's the point. He is the promise. The mighty third person of the Godhead. He's not a dove. He's not joy. He's not a manifestation. He's not a presence. He's not goosebumps. He's a man. The Holy Spirit is a man, and He'll sit right there next to you on the couch at home while you're drinking your coffee, and He'll have a conversation with you. He'll sit. He's sitting right there with you all the time. But you have to yield to Him. You have to open yourself up to Him in those times of temptation. God, I need you in this. I'm right here. Put it down and walk away. Go do this. He'll help you. He just needs you to understand that you can't do it without Him, and then the grace to live comes. All the time you read in the epistles, Paul goes, I wish that grace would be multiplied to you. Grace and mercy. Grace. More grace to live this life. More grace to live this life, even though you may be persecuted. More grace. But now for the fun part. If it's not about you, and it's not about how good you are, how much of a man of God you are, how much you know, how many people in here know what Jesus did for them by a raise of hands? They know that Jesus died on the cross for them. Wow, that's amazing. So all of you can tell somebody that Jesus died for them. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. You don't have to perform anything. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. And it's not about being perfect. Ask the pastors. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. Do I have some zeal? Oh, yeah. Do I want to see God touch people? Oh, yeah. But am I perfect? No. But He is. He is. And so what happens? All we do is we say, this is what God did in my life. I used to be on drugs. Now I'm not. I used to do this. Now I'm not. I used to kill people. I've killed thousands of people. I used to cut the heads off of people like you. Or like us, He would say. But now, I met Him. And I want you to meet Him as well. And it's not about, I may not have all the answers. You know, a lot of people in here wish they had all the answers. And if somebody that you're trying to disciple
has all the answers. All you have to do is say, hey, I don't know that answer, but listen, he does, and let's seek him together. Because then what did I just do? I just removed every excuse that you've ever had because it's not about you. If it was about you, then we'd all, if it was about any of us in here, we'd all just be doomed. Just get, okay, forget it. Keep your money. Don't give to the church. Forget about it. Let's go home. Let's watch football. Because there's no point. But there was a point. Because he came. And he died. So that we could be connected to him. And if anyone points them or points people to themselves, you'll watch what will happen to them. But if you point them to him, there's never, it's the most humble thing you can do. I'm literally humbled with what we're about to do. I'm so humbled that I'm about to go and shake an entire nation. Me. And I will accept nothing less. That nation will be shaken by the time I'm done with it. I promise you, it'll be shaken. Why? Because it's not about me, it's about him. And if it's all about him, he's going to shake it. Amen? So then I see the trailer factory shaken by the hand of God. I see Northridge School District shaken by the hand of God. I see those kids in those schools who are dealing with an identity problem walking around with a billboard saying, I'm hurting, thinking that they're animals, shaken by the hand of God. Because that's all they are. They're walking around with a billboard. And any man or woman of God that knows that they have a relationship can just clear all of that up with the talk. So this is what I'm going to do today. If it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's all about him, the church needs to multiply. And we have to humble ourselves and get over ourselves and stop thinking, oh, well, so-and-so is going to think I'm crazy if I start talking like this. They probably need to think you're crazy. I know half the people I talk to think I'm crazy. There's pastors that think I'm crazy. That's fine. Amen. But I believe, as we saw this morning, I'm going to continue what we saw this morning. This morning we had repentance. And I don't think that there was quite as many up here that needed to be up here. But that's okay. You don't have to come up. But now, there's another call. And so I'm going to ask that everyone just bows their head right now. Put your eyes on Jesus. Some of you know the voice of the Lord. Some of you know the times that God, if I say this right now, you'll know exactly the moment. The times that God has spoken to you to talk to somebody and you didn't. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay right now. That's what repentance was. But now I removed all of that because it's not about you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's verse 20, it says, well, first off, you're a new creation. Second, he reconciled us to him. And then what? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In the New King James, it's my favorite version of this scripture. It says, though God himself is pleading through you. If that's the case, all you have to do is say, man, if I could just put my hands on him, if I could just touch him. I see that all the time over there, guys. If I can just pray for them, it's not about the words that I speak. If I could just pray right now, the Lord's going to touch them. And you pray, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch them right now. And an encounter, just as it did to Saul, now Paul, it'll change them right there. And then almost every hand, I'm pretty sure every hand came up, and they know, you all know the gospel. That's the power. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Your job is to get the Holy Spirit inside people, which is what? Salvation. You just preach the gospel, guys. It's so simple. And it's what they're looking for. So today I'm going to give a call of consecration. A call of It's about, I know, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do anything that you want me to, Lord. I just want to know you. I want to be with you. Obedience is the best way to get closer to him. So if God's tugging on your heart today to go to the next level, I'm going to open up the altar, just come up, and we're going to pray. And when you get up here, God's going to begin to touch you. If that's you, go ahead and come forward. Come to the altar, and we're going to pray. If you feel that you can be used more of God, yeah, this is a holy moment. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. You can kneel, you can stand, whatever you want. It's up to you. This is a big day. The Amish community will be shaken because of this day. One man, Jesus, would go into a whole city, and the whole city was shaken. I see more than one person coming down here right now. And if you mean business with God, God means business with you. And listen, it doesn't matter how old you are. I was just at a conference. 85-year-old man was in his apartment complex, made flyers for a little like a grocery giveaway, put them on every single door in his apartment, said, meet here. It's like 40 people show up. 40 people give their lives to the Lord. He gives out some free groceries, and their lives are changed forever. At 85, doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. It's about the fire of God shot up in your bones. It's about your desire to see other people have the same relationship that you have so that they can be partakers of the living water. So that they'll never thirst again. The Holy Spirit is sweeping. I feel the presence of God so strong. This is what it's about. It's about him and you. It's not about what I'm saying. It's about what's going on in your heart right now. Right now, between you and the Lord. I am going to lead you in a prayer, but just I'm going to take a few seconds and just let the Lord minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your fire. I thank you for your fire touching the people right now, Lord. We give way to you. You have your way in this place right now on their hearts. People in this room today are leaving here changed, just like the worship leader was praying, just like I was praying. You will never be the same after today. And the fruit of it is there'll be new people in the church, because it's not about you, it's not about the pastor, it's about Jesus. Grab someone and bring him. Set their gaze on him like your gaze is on them. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to pray. And I want you to do business right now. This is a vow to the Lord. This is a consecration. God, this is you putting your life on the altar right now. It's moments like this that send people to nations. And that might scare you, but send people to nations that are war-stricken and
97% Muslim. But it's also meetings like this that whole counties are shaken by the hand of God. So I want you guys to say this after me, okay? And I want you to mean it. This is you standing before God. Say, Jesus, I lay myself on the altar today. I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. Have every area of my heart. Have every area of my life. Every thought, every intention, I give it to you, Lord. Today, I cast my cares on you. I cast the fear of man on you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now stay in this place as long as you need. If the Lord's speaking to you, stay there. Don't move. There's no rush. This is holy. This is so holy.